We often talk about habitable zones in the context of types of stars. There are types of stars that, so far as we know right now, can host habitable zones where surface liquid water is possible and thus, again, as far as we know, could see the abiogenesis of life as we know it on Earth. We know stars like the Sun can do it because, well, it did, and here we are. But Type K and Type M stars are also on the table, and indeed, Type K orange dwarfs may actually be better than the Sun for life to arise and thrive around. Type F stars are marginally on the table for surface exoplanet life, but only just so, due to the enormous amount of ultraviolet light they emit. On the other hand, it has been suggested that certain types of hypothetical life could use ultraviolet light as an energy source. In other words, it's up in the air and won't be solved until we remotely discover an exoplanet biosphere, which could happen, but also may never happen. But with the James Webb Space Telescope, we are passing the threshold of being able to try. But what we do know about stellar habitable zones is that 1. There is a trick to get past them in the form of ice shell moons with subsurface oceans that can exist outside of classical habitable zones. The other is that there are definitely stars that are not likely to ever host life. Giant stars in particular tend not to live very long and often meet explosive ends. But within this is a greater question, that of galaxies themselves. Are there galaxies that are worse or better for life than our own spiral galaxy? This is a complex question because of several factors. The first is that we know that the Milky Way can do it, since, once again, here we are. There seems to be no outstanding reason for it not to have produced multiple incidences of abiogenesis across the entirety of the galaxy. But even the Milky Way has a galactic habitable zone, though in fairness, that zone is very wide, comprising much of the area of the galaxy. But it does not include areas too dense, such as the entire galactic core, and large dense star clusters because the intense radiation and frequency of supernovae, proximity to black holes and other things unfriendly to life, simply make it far less likely to be successful if it can even arise under those conditions. On the opposite end of the spectrum are the far reaches of the outer regions of the Milky Way. Here you probably don't have enough resources for life to arise. Things are just too sparse for it to be likely. But in our region, basically the middle regions of the galaxy, as long as you have the elements needed for life to arise, the only question there is how evenly phosphorus is distributed in the galaxy, which may be uneven, then life can arise from a basic chemical standpoint. But that's the Milky Way, and it's a specific type of spiral galaxy. There are other types of galaxies, and they may have very different rules making them less likely or more likely to host life. One major point here is the apparent age of a galaxy as we see it. There's somewhat of a brick wall in observation of other galaxies because the further they are away, the further back in time we see them, due to the time required for their light to reach us. This means that huge numbers of galaxies as seen from our vantage point are not places to look for galaxy-spanning mega-civilizations, because from our point of view, those galaxies simply have not had enough time for supernovae and other means to populate them with the heavier elements needed for life. This means that the highly redshifted, very distant galaxies James Webb specializes in are not candidates for looking for galactic-scale technosignatures, because from our point of view, those galaxies are very young, seen from the beginning of the universe. That's not to say they don't currently host civilizations or life, it's that if they do, we won't know about it for billions of years, if ever. This could be an odd case of the one ability we have to look back in time, as close to time travel as we can get, actually hinders our search for alien life, which might be the most interesting thing we could look for in the universe. The universe is a harsh cookie indeed, with not nearly enough chocolate chips. So where taking on this question starts is with the mediocrity or Copernican principle. Without evidence to the contrary, it's always best to assume that what happens in this galaxy probably happens all over the universe. There are many variations of this idea, but in this context, it has to do with elliptical galaxies. These galaxies can be enormous, many times bigger than the Milky Way, and they can also be extremely ancient, with little new star formation and a huge population of aging, long-lived stars, the best kind for life. This would suggest that most life would be concentrated in those galaxies that are best for it, as laid out in a paper by Dayal and colleagues, linked to all papers in the description below. And also, given the size of the elliptical galaxies, there should be more chances for life to arise. But here comes the mediocrity principle. If that's the case, then why are we, as an example of life in a civilization, sitting around an atypical G-type star in a spiral galaxy? By all rights, we should be in an elliptical galaxy around a Type M or Type K dwarf, which are far more numerous in the universe than our G-type star. We would become atypical instead of typical for life and civilizations. Not impossible, but not very likely either. A further type of galaxy are dwarf galaxies. These typically are satellite galaxies to larger types of galaxies. The Milky Way has several of them, and they are thought to have formed as a result of gravitational effects during the initial formation of galaxies, or through collisions or other means. These galaxies tend to have only a few billion stars in them, as opposed to hundreds of billions for larger galaxies like the Milky Way. This in turn lowers the chances for life in these galaxies, just due to the lower numbers. But the argument that they might be perfect for life has also been made. Also a factor here is star formation rates. A galaxy that forms a lot of stars tends to form a lot of stars that go supernova. This lowers the chances for life in a galaxy overall, due to the fact that a supernova can sterilize an exoplanet at a distance. Life in galaxies with extremely high star formation seems unlikely, despite the abundance of heavier elements in those galaxies, at least for now. If in the future universe, circumstances were right to produce habitable planets after the bulk of the star formation is finished, then the chances for life and civilizations rise in these formerly active galaxies. There are also irregular, small, highly active galaxies that might be the worst on the prospects of life due to high star formation rates and high supernova counts. So all told, the best galaxies, as far as we can tell, would be the giant elliptical galaxies, as opposed to the medium-grade spiral galaxies like the Milky Way. Indeed, the numbers are such that if the Milky Way only hosts us, a single incident of life, and that's indicative of the overall rate it happens universe-wide, then a typical elliptical galaxy could be inferred to host over 10,000 just by virtue of sheer numbers of chances. Another thing to consider is something worse than a supernova, gamma ray bursts. These were probably more common during the early years of Earth, but in the last 500 million years, there appears to have been only one to have affected this planet. It may even have been the precipitating factor for the great Endor-Davishian mass extinction about 440 million years ago. Gamma ray bursts are more common in star-forming regions, and if you go back to an earlier period in the universe's history, about 11 billion years ago, they reached a peak. At this point, there would have been no life in the universe for several reasons, but even if there could have been, the massive amount of gamma ray bursts would have made almost all galaxies essentially sterile or at least very dangerous. By the time life could have theoretically arisen in the universe, which is unknown, but about 6 billion years ago would be a solid middle ground guess, the gamma ray burst rate in the Milky Way would have slowed down. But in very active galaxies we see today, this is still a huge problem for any nascent life in those types of galaxies. But here the question of elliptical galaxies rises again. Elliptical galaxies are generally finished with most star formation, and even host fewer gamma ray bursts and supernovas than the Milky Way does. And they've been that way for a long time, and have plenty of heavy elements as would be needed for exoplanets and life. But that leaves a huge hole, the mediocrity principle, as shown in a 2020 paper by Daniel Whitmire, linked to an article below. So the question remains, either we violate the Copernican principle and are atypical for life in the universe due to our location in a spiral galaxy, or there is something seriously wrong with the habitability of elliptical galaxies, meaning we actually do live in the best type. In the spirit of my spooky October videos, which commence in just a few days, here we have a twist that you probably didn't expect. The answer may be disconcerting indeed. It may be because of interstellar objects. In a paper by Brian Lackey, he details that elliptical galaxies are full of fast-moving stars, more so than a galaxy like the Milky Way, and those stars very likely have equally fast-moving clouds of comets around them, like stars tend to have, such as the Sun's Oort cloud. This may mean that the disruption rate of those comets in the inner areas of elliptical galaxies could be much higher than what happens in the Milky Way, and the interstellar comets that are tossed out are moving at much greater speeds, leading to what you might call super impacts in a galactic shooting range. This opens up the door to much more frequent mass extinctions in these galaxies, at least near their centers, leading to an exclusion zone for life and civilizations in these galaxies. In other words, interstellar objects may limit the amount of life that can exist in elliptical galaxies, though outside of the central areas, it remains a possibility. This has a strange effect. Since elliptical galaxies are enormous and relatively common, and contain about half the ostensibly habitable stars in the observable universe, then it's actually a severe limit on just how much life and how many civilizations could exist in the universe overall. In other words, it may be that life is limited to galaxies like the Milky Way, but does not occur as often in galaxies that, on their face, seem more ideal. In short, we may not violate the mediocrity principle, rather we embody it, existing in a habitable zone of a galaxy that happens to be just right for life, in a universe where a majority of galaxies are not, even if they initially appear to be. That would mean that we have gotten two very close glimpses of the most dangerous things in the universe, above and beyond supernovae or gamma ray bursts. It's interstellar objects like Oumuamua or Borisov that may, in the universe as a whole, be the real threat to life and civilizations, representing an extinction threat much greater than anything else. We just happen to live in a galaxy relatively devoid of these, though it's been shown by Siraj and Loeb that interstellar meteorites do hit Earth, and indeed there are now two candidates for this. If this really is the order of the universe, our safe and puzzling glimpse of Oumuamua may be, for most life in the universe, a harbinger of imminent extinction. Thanks for listening. I am futurist and science fiction author John Michael Godier, currently musing about my Halloween costume. I've proudly gone as a pirate every year since 1978, but I may shake things up this year and go as an interstellar object. Anna and the Possum won't be expecting that, though I'm gonna need a lot of rocks to hot glue to the pirate costume. And be sure to check out my books at your favorite online book retailer and subscribe to my channels for regular, in-depth explorations into the interesting, weird, and unknown aspects of this amazing universe in which we live.